Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Today is Wednesday, March the 20th, and we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because it makes it your show. Welcome, Michael. Michael?
Thank you, dear heart. My mute button was being stubborn. So we are once again elated, delighted, and honored that we get to spend an hour with you talking about the Aramaic process of forgiveness. I just got complete with one of the most exciting things in my life to do. We have an intensive going on here at Palm Coast, Florida, first of 2 9-day back-to-back codependence intensives. And I just got through an explanation of the ancient Aramaic process of how to remove painful content from your mind and your emotions. And it's always so exciting to watch a whole group. We've got a whole room full of people. What have we got? 18 people here. To watch a whole room go, oh, my God, that's how it works. It's so awesome to get it on that level, and then once you've gotten it once, then the next time you hear it, you get it on a whole other level, and then the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and it's just, you know, I mean, personally, I've gotten it 1,000 times, and every time I get it again, it's another exciting piece of the puzzle, another piece opens up. I'll have people will say to me, well, you know, Michael, I hear you've been doing that Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for 30 years. Doesn't that get old? Doesn't that get boring? I mean, I've heard you've even done that as many as 3 times in a day. Yes, actually, I have done it as many as 3 times in a day. Several years ago, I was out in Tucson, Arizona, and the city hired me to come in and work with their police and their fire and their city employees. And I did 3 different workshops for 3 different groups of people, each one, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Now, back then, I did not understand forgiveness on the level that I understand it now in terms of the how-to. I knew it worked, but I didn't know how to understand it or explain it. And finally, after 30 years of doing it, I've gotten to where I understand it because I stuck with it. And every time I do it, it's exciting one more time. So we're delighted to be here with you to share that. It's such powerful technology and so counterintuitive that it's just really fun to watch people's jaws drop when they get it. And if you want to tap into that, you know, one of the things we do is we make our work available freely anywhere on the planet that we go. And as we make it available freely, the idea is that we're going to sow the seed of forgiveness as far and as wide as possible until we reach critical mass. Critical mass being a level of energetic understanding on planet Earth that the energy of it bursts through the unconsciousness of those who do not understand it and are not willing to engage in it so that they intuitively, automatically know and are able to engage in that forgiveness process. So our definition of forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you. Forgiveness is the tool you use to access the part of you that creates your pain. And in accessing that, how to dissolve it. So that's what the forgiveness process is, and so that's where we're heading with our intensive here. That's where we're heading with our radio show every day. If you go to www.whyagain.org, and our introduction and our outro says whyagain.com. If you go to the whyagain.com site, there's a little arrow that'll just take you to whyagain.org. It's still there. It's still in existence. We just don't update it anymore. So one way or the other, you'll get to it. But go to whyagain.org, and in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says start here. That will tell you and give you the whole forgiveness process. There's an explanation there of how to start to use the worksheets. There's a copy of the worksheets. There's chapter 24 of my book on why and how to forgive. And then if you right-click on the MP3 buttons and you do save to, and you save it on your computer, you'll be able to listen to 5 different radio shows where we walk somebody through, in each occasion, a totally complete worksheet from start to finish. And so we'd be delighted if you'd like to access that material to do it. Of course, we also have the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? We have the book on CD. We have a 2-hour DVD, a 4-hour DVD, a 4-hour CD available in our catalog. And we'd love it if you'd support us by ordering, buying those products. That's part of how we keep everything we do available freely. And if you find that you benefit from this radio show and the level of your benefit is really supportive to you, and we invite you to consider supporting us. You can go to our website, and there's a donate button. You can click donate. And if you want to support getting this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, then that donation will help us to do that. And we've got over 5,000 pages on our website. It'll help us to keep that website operational. We've got 17 acres and 15 buildings. It'll help us to keep our center continuously upgrading and getting better and better. And we had several people who donated and have helped us to acquire a new van. And if you wish to support that, you can also go to that donate button and add something to the pot to assist us in that van that carries us far and wide in the globe. So we appreciate all of your support and assistance in doing that. And we want to be on your support team. That's why the materials are available freely. And if you feel it's worth supporting us in return, cool. And the other thing, if you're not in a position financially to do that, that's awesome. We'll hold that you get to that level of abundance, but also we invite you to support us in a different way, and that is hand the tool off to somebody else. Sit somebody down, walk them through a worksheet. You will have, now there'll be some people who just won't get it, but you show somebody how to change the content of their minds, and you will find people who will be eternally grateful to you. So we're delighted to be here to support you. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today? Do we have David with us?
Dr. Tim is with us.
Oh, good. Well, let's say hello to the young men. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We had our support group last night.
Oh, tell us about it.
Well, we had 5 people plus me. We watched the second half of Laws of Living, and then that stimulated some discussion and questions from people. And this week I had much better full voice to be able to address questions, and we had a nice discussion. And then I offered people a chance to do worksheets. No one wanted to do one out loud, but they wanted to hear an example, so I offered to do one. And I did a worksheet on an issue with someone that's in my life today. And the emotion I had was fear. And my goal for this person was that they live a healthy, happy life and that they appreciate it. And when I worked through the worksheet and canceled my need to be right and canceled my need to make up any more false realities out of that same bit of data, and went inside and got in touch with my true nature's love and breathed, I instantly saw, as I canceled my goal for the other person, I instantly saw an image of myself at 3 years of age at the end of a hallway. And at the other end of the hallway was my sister, who was just born as an infant, who was ill. she was crying, and we couldn't go in there because they were convinced that she had allergies and asthma and emphysema and the cooties or whatever. And so there I was at 3 years of age, knowing that I was being told that she was sick and she was crying and I was afraid for her, and I was thinking I should be able to do something.
And wow.
That's exactly where I was in the current situation with someone in my life today, afraid that I wouldn't be able to help them, that I should be the one who helped them. And so it was very powerful, very useful to breathe through that, release some of the energy and emotions around that. But and also, I think, instructive in the power of the worksheets, because how I would take something that's going on in my life today and jump to a connection about when I was 3 years old and my sister came home from the hospital sick and we couldn't go near her. I don't know how to get that through any logical process.
Right.
So it was a wonderful
tool.
Isn't
it amazing?
And it, as usually happens in the group process, we had three different people who mentioned that my doing that worksheet really opened spaces for them. And only, well, I think two of them might have been on similar issues, but there were three different issues that my working on that worksheet opened up for. One woman was touched because she had had a sister who had died just a couple of years ago, and she was feeling a deep connection to the worksheet process and the fear of losing her sister, like I was afraid of losing my sister right after she was born. And another woman opened up the idea of holding the space of love and what it means, the difference between trying to go out and get somebody to love her versus recognizing that she is the energy of love and that she can extend that in every relationship, but she can never love another person, and she can't find something that's missing inside of her because there's nothing missing inside of her. So I thought it was a very good illustration of how in a group setting, sharing a worksheet process can be very powerful and stimulating growth and healing for not just the person who does the worksheet, but for the people who are there sharing and holding the space.
Now, the wisdom of that African proverb, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It is absolutely amazing, isn't it? It's so incredible being in the intensive and just watching each person's insight be the foundation for the next person's insight, and that being the foundation for, it's just an amazing, amazing process.
Agreed. So that was our night last night.
Well, and one of the other things that comes to mind as you speak about that is, it's amazing, isn't it, how the mind can take, carbon-based memory can take its old content, i.e., the conclusions, the feelings, the thoughts of a three-year-old, and let's see, you're 39 now, so 36 years later,
nice
massage
try.
That into, what's that?
Nice try.
Massage that into a current event and make it look like the feelings, whatever's going on, actually belongs to the present and what's going on. I mean, it always amazes me the genius of this carbon-based memory to massage things into, no, this really is real right now about that out there, and it's not until we cancel the goal and collapse that fraud that we get to access and see what's at the root of it. And it just, I mean, it always just amazes me what people come up with when they touch into that. It's just awesome.
Yeah, agreed. It's as you were saying, one of the traps, drugs, is I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm going
right.
to use my logical, conscious mind, and I'm going to figure this out. And as Krishnamurti was so fond of saying, you're in a prison of thoughts, and you're trying to think your way out. The walls are made of thoughts, the bars, the ceiling, the floor is all made of thoughts, and you're going to think your way out of it. What sense does that make?
And that ties right into David Bohm's sustaining coherence, that thought is the problem, and the more we apply thought to it, the more we're going to create bigger, deeper, more insane problems.
Exactly, and that, we had that discussion last night as I was going through the worksheet process trying to explain to people, and we had a couple newbies trying to explain to them the concept of sustained incoherence. And my favorite way of helping them understand that is to just tap into Krishnamurti's words. You're trying to think your way out of a prison of thoughts. And that's exactly what David Bohm's referring to.
Yep.
And what Einstein referred to when he said, you cannot solve a problem at the level of mind that created the problem.
So what you're telling us, Dr. Tim, is you got to be out of your mind. Is that it?
You have to be out of your conscious, logical mind. Absolutely.
And that's what forgiveness so power. I mean, the insight and the genius to be able to bring that forward to the world, which Yeshua did 2,000 years ago. And then, of course, the insanity that it was lost so quickly as those who refused to engage the process made up a dogma about how, no, we have a solution. And the solution is, here, you just say these magic words and everything will be okay, and ignore what that guy said. I mean, yeah, he's God, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, don't listen to him about this narrow way and few will find it. We got a way that all you have to do is say magic words and everything will be cool. Hey, we got it. And, you know, it always just amazes me how the non-being mind wants to pretend that it's got it all figured out.
Well, in the course of the lecture, Laws of Living, in the second half last night, you were saying how there's a two-step process outlined for healing and growing. And one of them is holding the space of love. That's the first law. Holding the energy of love in your mind and practicing that until it becomes a strong habit. I mean, so we're really out of that habit. We're out of the habit of thinking of ourselves as the energy of love and staying in direct conscious contact with that. And the second step is you will go over the board and you use your eraser to start erasing some of the content in brain cells that's negative, that's producing anger and fear and sadness. There's this two-step process. And some people want to just focus on love and think loving thoughts and say, let's chant and let's pray and we're all love. And they don't want to do the work of going in and letting the brain cells that contain anger and fear and resentment come to the surface and use a tool to dismantle them. And I don't know if you got that piece from A Course in Miracles or you got it from your Kabir's manuscript work, but that same knowledge of a need for both is in the Aramaic Beatitudes as interpreted by Yehiam. And he says, in the first one, now is the ripe time to make your home in the breathing unity. And the second one is, restored are they who allow their inner pain to surface. You've got to dig into the deep taproots of your own pain. Let it surface, breathe through it, and the love, the energy of creation, carries them to greater wholeness. It's that two-step process that's in every teaching that's resonated with me. I can't make much significant progress if I insist on engaging in premature positive thinking. It's, as you talk about, it's building a castle right at the edge of the water where the waves lap up and it's built on the foundation of sand. It's not going to last. When the water's calm, on a nice sunny day with no breeze, I can build a beautiful castle on that beach in that sand. But as soon as there's some turbulence, as soon as there's something gets stirred up from underneath, there's no foundation to hold the weight of that castle and it's all come tumbling down.
Exactly. And, you know, the The Course in Miracles says it very powerfully, and that is, you may wonder why you must look upon your hatred and realize its full extent. And I've seen lots of people working with the Course over the years that are like, you know, wanting to make everything nicey nice, and, you know, it's all about love, and it's like, no, it's real clear. You got to go in there and deal with what's there. And it goes on to say, exempt no one from your love, or you will be hiding a darkened place within your mind where Rukka's healing power is not welcome. And the way you get to the place that has darkened in there is through the forgiveness process. It's just, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
And it takes willingness, and we're here to support people in doing that because it works. Not because we enjoy the difficulty and the pain, but because we thoroughly enjoy the benefits and the relief that comes from clearing out the stuff that doesn't belong there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's check in with Jeannie and see if there's a question or anything from the chat room to be aware of, or if from the callers on the line, somebody's pushed one and is in queue to ask a question or make a comment.
There are several people in the chat room, but they're all guests, so they'll have to call in. They can't write in the chat room when they're not logged in. And we have a bunch of people on the switchboard, but nobody has their hand up. So if somebody will press one, they'll be first in line.
Well, if you're a guest, there's a really simple registration process. I don't know what it is, but I understand it's really simple. And if you register as a guest, then you have an account on Blog Talk, and then you can ask questions. You can type your questions in the chat room. You won't just be limited to observing what's going on there and listening to the show. So you'd certainly be welcome to do that.
Essentially, it's just providing a valid email address.
So that's all you need to do. And you can do that on the page that the guests are listening on right now?
Yeah, I think almost every page has at the top sign in or register.
Cool. So do that. And or if you want to call in, our calling number is 646-200-4169. And then push 1. If you push 1, you'll be having a conversation with Dr. Tim, with Jeannie and myself. And we would love to hear your questions and support you. We've found that every time we support you, we support us. And every time you support us, you support you. And, you know, it's a great circle. The upward spiral rather than the downward spiral that so many people live in. So, Jeannie, do we have a hand up? Is your mute button on?
No, we do not.
Okay. Well, I know that you know the one I'm looking at. You have a question, and you're not putting your hand up. If you and I were sitting in a room together, and I just finished doing a presentation that involved what Dr. Tim was speaking about and what I was speaking about, what would your question be? Now, if you're nervous, if you're like, oh, gee, I don't want to be on the radio, oh, I don't want to identify myself, give me a phony name, I don't care. When I ask, give us a name of where you're calling from, and ask your question. Because your question, although you may say to yourself, well, this is just so elementary, I wouldn't ask this, that elementary question may be the stimulus to the deepest insight and response that somebody will ever get from this work. So do us a favor. Pushing 1. Get brave, even if your voice is a little jittery, and ask your question.
We have a hand up.
Cool.
727, you're on the air.
This is Joan from St. Petersburg, and I have a question about the 666 and how our bodies are made in that.
Okay, and your question is?
Well, when you explained it, it made sense to me, and then I forgot what you said.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, here's the download on that, is that if you go back and you listen to Paul, Paul says that the goal of the work is to be of like mind with Christ. And that word Christ, not being a religious word, but rather is actually the name of an office. It'd be something like the title mayor. It's a title. So Mayor Jones, his name isn't mayor. He holds an office. Christ is not the name of a man. Yeshua held an office. So, and the reason he held that office was because he stuck to and lived in the mind of love, which is quite literally the mind of God. So the invitation is to live in the mind of love. It's our birthright. And the alternative to that, so that's the mind of Christ. The alternative to that is what was referred to as that which goes against living as love, or the anti-love, anti-Christ. And we point out that the Aramaic language is a physics language, and they knew exactly what they were talking about all the way through in terms of the very latest discoveries in physics. They knew that 2,000 years ago. So we point out that this so-called body-mind unit, this device called the body-mind unit with its senses, every frequency that comes into the senses is registered holographically in every cell in the structure, including the sperm and the egg. So were you to conceive a child tomorrow, that child would have in its structure every thought you've ever thought, every feeling you've ever felt, every reality you've ever engaged in. And that would be stored within the so-called body. Now talk to a modern-day physicist and they'll tell you that the base element of your body is carbon. That this device called the body-mind unit is a carbon-based memory system. And where they got the number 666 is that in the carbon atom, which is the thing that stores the hostilities, the fears, the griefs, the pains that pull us out of love or pull us out of the mind of Christ and therefore qualify to be called the Antichrist, that this carbon-based memory system, if you look at a carbon atom, there are 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons. 666. That's the number of the beast. That's the identifies the device that stores the frequencies that pull us out of love. And forgiveness is about going inside yourself and removing those frequencies so that there's nothing in you that is unlike love to pull you out of the direct experience of who you are as a human being. And, you know, we have a very simple definition of love, and that is hold a newborn child. That's how we're all designed to live, is in constant contact and communication with that newbornness, that energy of that awesome presence of love. And the only thing that draws us out of it are the generational frequencies of hostility and fear that need to be forgiven. So that's what we're here to do, is support people and able to remove that stuff from carbon-based memory, from the body-mind unit. Otherwise, one will be run by the generations. I'd love to tell the story about the one about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. And, you know, pretty hard to get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years. Maybe they weren't talking about a hot, sandy place. Maybe they were talking about something else. Maybe they were talking about carbon-based memory with its stored generational hostility and fear. And most people wander unconsciously for about 40 years before they wake up and go, gee, I wonder if there's something else happening besides everything that's happening in my life being somebody else's fault. And then once you recognize who you are, you start going into that carbon-based memory system and you start deleting the generations. And you end up functioning as a totally awake, aware spiritual being. And that was the idea. That make sense to your question?
Yes.
Is that where you wanted to go?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Delighted. Any other way we can support you? Any other thoughts? How are your worksheets going?
Mine?
I heard that Jeannie's class on Thursday and Friday were both just awesome. Were you there Thursday and Friday?
I wasn't there. I just got here a couple days ago.
Ah, all right. Very cool. Well, we're delighted to be on your support team. Any questions or refinements, you know, as you tap in, if you haven't touched into the worksheet process yet, you might go to whyagain.org and under the title up in the top left-hand corner, start here. That'll unfold the whole process for you. So glad you're with us. Thank you.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Jeannie, anything in the way of questions in the chat room? Anybody who's
no,
pushed
no.
one, put your hand up.
646-200-4169 and press 1.
You know you've got a question. I can see your lips moving. Mouthing it already.
541. 541, you're on the air.
541, welcome to the show. Hi. Give us a name. Where are you calling from besides Oregon?
I'm Julie from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, young lady.
Hi there. Well, I have a confession to make. I'm not doing my work like I should, could, would, want to, committed, all that. And I'm admitting that because I just, because I'm not perfect in that sense. And I'm not gone from the work. I'm just, you know, temporary, doing it differently, busy mode. It's not, and so I'm confessing my excuses, and I'm just, and for the, you know, for the honesty of the one mind, I'm letting my beautiful, wonderful partners in this work know that I'm sort of dropping the ball, and I don't plan to keep that up, and I'm just acknowledging. If you might have felt the weight of that in any way or wondered if things are not in order, I'm not.
Forgive me, Father,
for
I have sinned, eh?
What'd you say?
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
I know, it's so weird. But, you know, I feel such a responsibility to my beautiful companions in this work. And I know that it is this such an opportunity and gift that we have this work to do. And so I experience resistance and choosing, I suppose, to believe in my excuses of why I can't find time for it and all that. So
you're drugging yourself with busyness.
Yes, I do what with busyness?
Drugging yourself.
Drugging, oh, yes.
Busyness
is
a drug.
Well, it is if you're doing mundane things, but there's all these things that have to be done. And I do know that I do them better, and I feel good, and they all get done anyway, even when I spend the time to do worksheets.
So how can we support you, getting back to your commitment?
Yeah, how can you support me? Well, I guess just love me anyway, and and just it's an acknowledgement I'm making, and I'm sure that that truth will, it was a barrier. So I probably will flow back into getting started again. I'm just doing saying all that, and thank you for your support, just in listening.
So can I support you in, while we're on the radio show, getting out of worksheet, I'm going ahead and starting a worksheet right here, right now, and maybe make yourself number 1A. You're the object of attention,
mm-hmm.
and so put Julie in number 1A, and I'm not keeping my commitment to my partners. How do I feel?
Yeah.
Guilty?
Okay.
Afraid?
Ashamed, yes. And,
so each of those feelings is a different worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
So you willing to do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Cool.
But not right
awesome.
Now.
Pardon me?
See, it happens. I can do that. And not right now. I have a commitment at 11, and I'm not even dressed yet. So but you know what? I will commit to doing that worksheet or those feelings, those worksheets, today. How about that?
Awesome. Well, you've got our support. We'll hold the space. It's fabulous.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in with such a gentle voice toward yourself. That's pretty cool.
Oh,
there was a time when it was not so, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was all in drama and overwhelmed and helpless. Yeah, so this is different. Yes, thank you.
That's big. That's a nice piece of fruit from your work. That's cool.
Yeah, thank you. It is. Oh, hey, speaking of fruit, did you ever find out, or maybe I missed hearing you reporting back on the organic food crossing the borders? Is it irradiated or not?
I have not gotten those answers yet.
Wonder how we can find those. Okay, I just thought I'd ask. It shouldn't be, it's just somebody will have that information and come forth with
it. Yeah, we're in the middle of an intensive, so it's a little mm-hmm. difficult to get caught up with that kind of stuff. But if you Google Health Ranger.
Oh, right.
The Health Ranger. Maybe you could report mm-hmm. back to us. And just put that question. It was his articles that gave me that information. So perhaps you could communicate more directly with him and see what he comes up with. I forget his name. Mike Adams, I think, is his name, the health ranger.
Okay. That's good. Thanks for reminding me of that. I didn't write that down before. Okay. I will do that. Along
all
with
right.
my worksheets.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You have a blessed one. Appreciate you a lot.
No, thank you. I appreciate you, too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Area code 765, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've not been on before, but earlier you was talking about grief and
yes.
people dying and stuff.
Who are we speaking about?
When you deal with it, you feel like it's overwhelming because it don't happen just one at a time. It happens two or three at a time.
Right.
At least it has me this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew Russell. Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a phone call this morning. My cousin died, too. When you're so overwhelmed and you can't stop crying, you can't seem to see the screen.
so what I'd like to do right now, can I invite you to just follow my breath and take a couple of breaths with me?
Okay.
Let's conspire. You know, the word conspire means to breathe together. Let's just take a minute. Maybe everybody on the show, wherever you are, whether you're in Africa or Europe or wherever, maybe just to take a couple of deep, connected breaths with us, and we'll just offer support to you. And as you breathe, what will happen is that overwhelm will tend to dissolve.
Okay.
And it's one of the most powerful ways to dissolve pain that I know of. It's just a simple process of breathing. Now, if you go back to the ancient Aramaic where we're told that God sent out his spirit, it doesn't say that. What it says is that what was sent out was the breath. It's our direct connection. And when you infill yourself fully, it will tend to displace the fear, the pain, the trauma, and replace it with the active presence of love. And then if you choose to reach for, I don't know if you've gotten involved in the worksheet process yet, but you're on that start.
Not yet. I know Sunny, and she was talking about starting a group. So I was thinking of joining the group.
Awesome. It's powerful.
Yeah. So I've been listening to you, but I haven't talked before. But they found him Tuesday, and he laid on the floor for a couple of days. Without
oh, really?
Me. Yeah. So he's a good cousin, but he's in a better place because after his accident, he didn't have a good life that way. You know what I mean?
Right. So it was probably a relief for him to let go of the body.
Yeah. We're going to wake up.
Well, I'll join you.
Somerset.
You know, one of the greatest gifts that you can give him is instead of being in your pain, which simply helps to cloud him in his pain, even though he's not in his body now, having the clarity and the purity of the presence of love in your mind for him is one of the greatest gifts you can give him to help him steer directly back to his original home, which is the total presence of love and light. So by holding that space, and that's what I join you in being in clarity and holding that space, you can actually support him. And if you hold your pain and trauma, and he's got an energetic lock with you, it will tend to hold him back. I know we had a woman at an intensive back a few years ago, and she was using one of the tools we call a mind shifter, and it was an issue around her dad. And as she wrote the mind shifter, her father came in and literally took her hand and started to write and said, you know, he had been very abusive, and he apologized for his abusiveness and said, I really need to go on, but as long as you hold this anger and resentment toward me, I'm locked in with you. I need to be released. Would you please let this go? It's powerful to watch her do that and to open up, and the difference that it made was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
So I join you in being able to hold the space and be the presence of love as he disconnects from this world and moves into that awesome presence of love that he is, connecting with that power and presence.
Yeah, I think that helped me a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks awesome.
Again.
Well, we're delighted to be here to support you. And anyway, as you move along, and you might want to pick up that worksheet process, it's so amazing when you start to use it.
Okay.
And you have that tool to be able to pass on to others. It's just absolutely amazing.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you for your call. Lots of love and blessings, and we'll keep you in our hearts and in our prayers.
You too. Thank you.
Blessings. Bye-bye. Hey, Jeannie?
417, you're on the air.
Hey, is that me?
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fabulous. If you've been on since the beginning of the show, you know we just finished doing the core of the canceling process in the worksheet, and it was just the energy and the intensity. It was just so high and so exciting. It was just really cool.
I'm glad. I've been reading The Way of Mastery, and I want to thank Dr. Kim and Reverend Jane and of course, Linda. I would never have this book in my hand if it wasn't for them. And when I was reading this, how my mind works. I wanted to have the exact right question, so I don't have the exact right question, but I did want to share this because I found, this is Yeshua's writing, and Yeshua admits in this book that he had written The Course in Miracles. And this has to do with the worksheet. And so I'd
right.
like to read the part of this, okay?
Yeah.
All right. It says, this journey will take you into the essence of what you do not know that you do not know. That is what makes it unconscious. For you have used the power of the mind to push down out of yourself your fears, where they actually gain power. But you do not need to confront them directly. Denial or suppression, as they speak of in your psychological language, is the very root of the creation of the ego. That which has been hidden must be made known. And as it's being made known, purification can occur. Then the next part is, beloved friends, there are many of you that have come to the task. Wait a minute. Beloved friends, there are many of you that have come to taste the truth of what I am about to say. Allowance is the greatest of keys to the kingdom, for allowance requires rescinding, slowly, patiently at times, painfully at times, of every perception you have ever held of everyone and everything. It is the descent into complete recognition of your ignorance, a complete recognition of your joy-filled dependence on the corrective power of the Holy Spirit. And then when I was reading that, I go, wow, that's the forgiveness process. That's what we're doing when we're doing our worksheet.
That's it.
But then
absolutely.
The next part was, because in our past you and I have had different conversations. As I do a worksheet, aren't I strengthening my relationship with the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. That's the idea. That's why in step 5B you're inviting that power to come into full force into your mind and to handle what you don't know that you don't know. It's a process through it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't the Holy Spirit the voice for God?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every time I do a worksheet, it's not only my purification process, which it says here, but it's also my opportunity to strengthen my holy relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is the voice for God.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right on track. Perfectly in harmony.
Right. So I just wanted to share that with you. It was so exciting when I read this here. I'm going, wow, and this is Yeshua talking. This is in the chat. So I
fabulous. Thank you for reading that. That's cool. You know, when you talk about the things that we don't know that we don't know, we had a person in the workshop this morning who was sharing that yesterday she was in process for most of the day. She had actually worked with Jeannie and gotten in touch with some things, and was just sort of in her stuff all day. And then this morning, she took some quiet time, and all of a sudden she realized why she was sabotaging herself by going back to junk food. She'd had a life-threatening situation and learned some skills for dealing with it differently when she came to Heartland. And then when she went back home, she kind of, her words were, fell off the wagon. She went back to some old junk food, which she knew didn't support her. And as she shared that, as she touched into that, she got in touch with the reason, the thing she didn't know, the reason she'd fallen off the wagon after she came back from Heartland and gotten back into junk food and such was that the memory that came up was she was about 3 years of age and her mother was ill all the time and died by the age of 60. And she was just following the directive that she was to die by 60. And although she'd caused a life-threatening illness to go into remission, she then went back to do behaviors that activated it again. And so to touch into why she was doing that, and it was basically to live up to the prophecy that she doesn't outlive mom, the behaviors needed to destroy herself. So it was really powerful for her to share that insight this morning and to get in touch with what you don't know that you don't know. The things that we don't even have a clue are in there. And to learn to decode those things is so amazingly powerful.
You know, I was wondering if, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past, but, you know, creating holy relationships. And then what I think this is about here is creating the holy, ultimately the creating the ultimate relationship, which is the holy relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we're first learning this, it's good to get conscious about creating holy relationships. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, of course, our holy relationships are the relationships that support us in our wholeness, and where instead of when we're in pain or turmoil, we get into the blame game, choose to remain unconscious of what's going inside of ourselves and want to blame somebody else for it, and that if we're in that space, that we actually have a partner that is able and willing to be that space of love for us so that we can be empowered, so that we can be supported to go into those places where we don't know what we don't know. You know, as when Julie from Ashland called in and she was recognizing her partners. And, you know, there's several people from the teacher's training last year that have been working together, as you have with them, Julie. And so she was acknowledging the power of the role that those support people had played for her and how awesome it is to just have somebody to hold the space to be in that space of wholeness to support our holiness, that we move back to that wholeness and that connected place. And of course, the piece that Dr. Tim put forward was that one about, you know, how it fits with the African proverb, but if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I suspect there would probably be rare, if anybody, would there be someone who could move from a mindset that's kind of typical in this culture of hostility or fear into a total mindset of love. I doubt that the person exists that can do that on their own. And when we have support, it's amazing. And of course, each person that we choose to bring into that supportive partnership becomes the holy relationship, the relationship that supports our wholeness. Did you have any other thoughts about it, Julie?
No, I think that, you know, really, you know, covers it. I think that one of the things that you did when we were up at Creative Health, which is at least 26 years ago or maybe 25, and that you had written on the board, you know, that we can create a holy relationship with anyone, and that it is by choice and it's a conscious thing, and that the ultimate holy relationship is with the Holy Spirit. And I guess what I was really, which I think you validated, is that when we do our worksheets, we are strengthening that relationship with the Holy Spirit and creating that holy relationship, that oneness.
Yes. That's the idea. We're not in this alone. We do have support, and even if it appears there's no one outside of us supporting us, there is that power within, and those words that represent that power in the Aramaic were Ruka Dekutcha, and those words have been translated in the by the Greeks into the Holy Spirit, but there's really nothing there in the language to indicate a disembodied spirit being. What it speaks of is a feminine elemental force in us that undoes the effects of errors and teaches us the truth. So all we have to do is develop relationship with that and invite that power to go to work in us, and wow, do things start to move in a whole new way.
And the way of mastery refers to it often as the great comforter.
Yes. And if you look at that word comfort, it means come fortis, fortis being strength, with strength. It's the one that will buoy us up and give us strength. Beyond just the idea of, you know, comfort in the sense of, oh, I feel comforted, I feel, you know, secured. But really it's what gives us that strength and the ability to go beyond the processing power of our own minds, so that we can reach to depth and move those energies that are within us but never belonged in us.
Michael, there's something else I'd like to read.
Yes, please do.
When there has been the desire for healing and awakening, rest assured that already your Father, through the Holy Spirit, is working to reshape every moment of your experience, every single moment, so that the correct teachers, the correct lessons, the correct books, even the correct weather can come to force you to look at your edges of unhappiness, your edges of judgment, your edges of insecurity, your edges of fear-based definitions of what love is, what it should look like, and what its effects should be. In other words, the entire world that you have made in error must be brought to the surface of the mind for correction. It's just beautiful.
It is, and what creates the correction is when you call forward that awesome presence of love. And one of the ways to do that is through the breath. And what the breath does, as we heard with our last caller, is it just begins to dissolve the pain that we hold when we don't know that the breath will open that space and bring us healing. It's just, you know, it's so simple and so powerful.
So, Julie, what lesson are you reading from there?
I'm reading in The Way of Knowing, and it's page 304 and 305.
Thanks.
Way of Knowing or Way of Mastery?
No, it's the book is The Way of Mastery, but it has three books within it. And it's the last one, The Way of Knowing.
Right. Okay, cool. Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so
nothing
welcome.
Like a little help from our friends.
Yes. Well, you still have time for another caller.
We do. Well, let's see if there is one.
Okay,
stay on the line with us. Jeannie?
Nobody else has their hand up. We're down to 5 minutes. So if someone presses one, there we go. Area code 918. You're on the air.
Hi, you all. It's Reverend Jane.
Oh, hey there, young lady. Did you get a message from me this morning?
That was sweet of you. Yeah, just Monday I didn't feel good. I'm fine today.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear your sweet voice.
Anytime we talk about the way of mastery, I always think about getting it for you and me nagging you all the time. Did you read this? Did you read that? And you said to me, well, it's beside my bed, something like that. And there was I don't know whether you read the whole thing or not, but the thing about
not the whole thing.
Huh?
I have not read the whole thing, but go ahead.
Well, on the three books, what I noticed that when you got toward or Julie was, the end, called The Way of Knowing, it gets more in-depth. In other words, it kind of takes you through in an easier way and then gets more in-depth. And the reason I liked it so well was because I told you that was the only book the church did. Took 1 year to go through it and then another year to go through it. They did it twice. But what it did for me was I felt that presence in the book. I mean, it was really profound. But there are many, many books out there that are profound. It
right.
just so happens that Tim and I have related to it, and now Julie. So, but it actually has to do with the feelings of love that's all through that book. What you teach is all through the book. So listening to you and reading that, we can't help but win.
Awesome. Well, and of course, the feeling of love is what that stimulates in us, because that's our true nature. That's the whole nature of the human being, and the world specializes in stimulating every rage and grief and pain and fear and holding us there. I mean, in the caller that called a few minutes ago about someone passing, you know, the culture even teaches us, well, go into sympathy. That is, you know, have pain that's like their pain, as though that's somehow going to benefit them. And what the work does is it lifts us out of that and says, if you have someone in pain, and I love what the 13th century mystic Rumi says, in the presence of love, all pain becomes medicine. And so when we hold that space of love for each other, the pain that each of us brings to the surface in the presence of that love literally becomes the medicine that heals us. And so it's awesome to have that understanding instead of the world's game that just, you know, does this drama and trauma and grief and rage and, you know, just focuses on the pain instead of who we are as human beings. Instead of that, you know, we've got this resurrection thing coming up and this rebirth of the spring and the bringing forward of new life. And yet there'll be people, in order to move in that direction, coming up in the next couple of weeks, that will do things like drag crosses around and go into the trauma and the pain and identify with that, rather than recognizing that all of that was just about a demonstration of the power of love, and that bringing that presence of love forward is what dissolves those things. It wasn't to edify the pain. But I remember going to one church service once, and they actually, it was a Good Friday, and the minister actually started to talk about the trauma and how we drove in the nails and all that stuff. And then they pulled out a cross, and they actually nailed like a puppet, a made-up figure to a cross, as though that somehow is going to benefit us, where the whole process was, can you, as Yeshua did, be the active presence of love in the presence of all that pain and dissolve it, bring healing to it? Some people got caught in the misunderstanding of it, thinking that the pain was the answer. So, Lady Jane, do you have another thought for us? We're down to about 30 seconds.
Well, I just send you all a lot of love and a lot of light and lots of energy, and we'll keep on keeping on. That's it.
We accept.
Thank you.
We Bye. Accept and thank you. And for everybody that's in the Chicago area, a couple of weeks, we're going to be up there. We'll also be in St. Louis, so take a look at the website. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. We'll see you tomorrow. Bring a stranger to the show. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.